So the AI debate, it often feels like this massive heavyweight boxing match, right? On one side, you have these highly capitalized closed labs with proprietary models, and then on the other, you've got open weight systems that you can just download and run on your own
Right,
servers.
and the question everyone always asks is, which side is actually going to win?
Exactly. But framing it as a winner-take-all contest, I mean, that completely misses the reality of where the tech is actually heading. So welcome back to The Working Thesis by Quogent Consulting. This is your AI-generated audio series accompanying Quogent's growing library of focused sectoral and policy insights.
And today we are doing a deep dive into the article titled "Open Weights and Closed Labs Are Not a Zero-Sum Contest." We're going to explore how frontier managed services and sovereign open systems are actually building toward a shared mixed AI economy.
Right, so let's get into it. And maybe start with a really crucial distinction the article makes, which is that open weight is not actually the same thing as open source.
Yeah, that's a huge point. When developers release open weights, they're basically just providing the model's parameters for download so you can fine-tune it. But they typically withhold the original training data and the underlying code recipe you'd need to build it from scratch.
So you get functional control, but not like total transparency.
Exactly. And these open weight models, I mean, they are getting massive. We are seeing systems like z.ai's GLM 5.2 at over 750 billion parameters.
Wow. And there's Moonshot's Kimi K3, right, releasing in late July with what, 2.8 trillion parameters?
Yeah, 2.8 trillion.
Yeah.
But the article points out that looking just at those numbers, well, it's a bit of a parameter fallacy.
How so? I mean, it feels a bit like judging a car strictly by the size of its engine, right? Just completely ignoring the steering wheel and the transmission.
That is a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
A massive, sparse model like Kimi K3, it doesn't actually use all of its parameters at once. Think of it like a giant university faculty.
Okay, so you don't call on the whole staff for one question.
Right, exactly. You only wake up the, say, three professors who specialize in that exact topic. The engine is huge, but you aren't using all that horsepower simultaneously on a real road.
So if these open weight models are just these massive raw engines, who is actually building the steering wheels and transmissions? Because that seems to be where the closed labs have a real advantage.
They definitely do. Organizations like OpenAI and Anthropic, they aren't just serving up raw model checkpoints anymore. They're selling fully integrated vehicles. They rely heavily on orchestration and agent harnesses.
Agent harnesses.
Yeah, so instead of just letting a raw model spit out an answer, closed labs wrap the model in software tools. These harnesses allow it to search the web, run code to verify its own logic, or even sustain a task over several days.
Ah, I see. So systems like, say, Claude Fable 5 or GPT 5.6 succeed because they have guardrails guiding that raw engine power to an actually useful destination.
Precisely. It's the integrated engineering that makes them so effective right out of the box.
Okay, but that brings up a big question. If closed labs have this massive head start on the engineering stack, you know, the steering, the brakes, the navigation, why should any organization take on the headache of downloading an open weight engine and building the rest of the car themselves?
Well, the article highlights one main reason, and that is sovereignty.
Sovereignty, like data control.
Exactly. If your organization processes highly sensitive information, I mean, say proprietary financial models or citizen health records, you simply cannot pipe that data through a public API hosted in another jurisdiction.
Right, that makes total sense. So open weights let you deploy that AI locally, entirely behind your own firewalls.
Yes. And that means you retain complete control over your institutional memory. You don't have to worry about a hosted provider suddenly changing their pricing or shifting their data policies on you.
But the article is pretty firm in warning that self-hosting isn't some magic bullet, right? I mean, taking on a local deployment requires incredibly scarce engineering talent and massive compute infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a huge undertaking. And if you mess up the security architecture on a local deployment, you could actually end up with a system that's less private and way more expensive than just paying for a managed service.
Which logically transitions to the article's core thesis. The future isn't about choosing between a closed lab API or a local open weight model. We're actually moving toward a mixed AI portfolio.
Right, specifically a routing layer architecture. This is where the industry is heading.
So how does that work in practice? I'm picturing like a company sets up a router that intercepts user prompts.
Exactly. So if an employee asks for complex reasoning or, highly variable creative work, the router sends that prompt straight to the expensive managed frontier API.
Oh, I get it. But if the task is just, say, extracting predictable data from a confidential internal document, the router just silently redirects it to the cheaper sovereign open weight model running on the local server.
Spot on. It dynamically optimizes for cost, latency, and privacy, literally on a task-by-task basis.
That is incredibly efficient. But to support that kind of ecosystem, the article outlines three policy pillars, right?
Yeah, and they really read as a push for practical governance over ideological labels. The first pillar argues that instead of regulating whether a model is designated open or closed, policymakers need to regulate the actual capabilities and deployment contexts.
Regulate what it does, not what you call it. What are the other two pillars?
They emphasize investing heavily in public compute infrastructure and mandating interoperable standards.
Interoperable standards.
Yeah.
Because if we want this dynamic routing layer to actually work, the models need to speak the same language to prevent vendor lock-in.
Exactly. A healthy AI economy requires both frontier services and sovereign systems to scale together.
So the end game here really isn't one architecture defeating the other. It's powerful lab-built agents working right alongside private localized models.
Which is a much more pragmatic way to view the whole landscape.
Definitely. And as the article notes, common interfaces are eventually going to make foundational models highly replaceable. So think about your own workflows for a second. If a major AI provider changed their access rules or jurisdiction tomorrow, how prepared is your organization to instantly swap out its AI engine without rebuilding the whole car from scratch?